Hey, welcome back to the Mark Moses Show. And to finish off our Super Bowl coverage here on a Friday, I thought I'd get this fine gentleman on. We met last year in Miami, and he does a great job with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. His name is Jim Rooney. I know he wrote a great book about his father, Dan, who passed away a couple years ago. And we got much to discuss for the Super Bowl, and we got a special guest as well. Let's bring him on. Jim, how you doing today, buddy?
Mark, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It's kind of a different world compared to last year, right?
Well, it was a heck of a year to launch a book. So I went from a pretty robust tour that was going to take me all across the country that, well, it started in Pittsburgh, then New York, and then I was in Florida last year for the Super Bowl, did several stops then, and then all of a sudden everything went to Zoom. So we, like so many people, we pivoted, and we actually started talking to sports management programs across the country, and then I partnered with one of my contributors, Jeremy DeRue, and he and I started really getting into conversation about race and equity in the workplace and using sports as an example.
Real quick, tell us about the book you did write about your dad.
Absolutely. So it's called Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's Story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. I did four core stories. I talked about my father helping transform the culture of the Pittsburgh Steelers from losers to winners. We were the worst team in sports from 32 to 1970. I talk about his contribution to the National Football League and helping build us from a, you know, when he really was first started getting involved, a small 12-13 league team league that made about $10 million in revenue a year to where we are today, a multi-billion dollar business with 32 teams. I talk about the importance of, you know, people in with positions where they have large platforms, using those platforms to making the world a better place. And ultimately he became President Obama's ambassador to Ireland because of that work. And then finally, I talk about the Rooney Rule, the NFL's diversity hiring policy. And as I said, Jeremy was a big contributor to that piece of the book.
Okay, before we get to Jeremy, for our listeners who don't know, because we hear it all the time, what exactly is the Rooney Rule in the NFL?
Sure. So the Rooney Rule requires that when originally a head coaching vacancy occurred, and now head coach, general manager, and now even beyond that to team presidents and vice presidents, that there be what they call the diverse slate of candidates, so that when you're at your final selection point, that there's some candidates who have some diversity, whether it's racial and ethnic minorities, gender, sexual orientation. In the NFL, on the coaching and GM level, it focuses on racial equity and making sure that there is some diversity when you're making your final decision. And last year was the first year that the requirement increased from one candidate to more than one, two or more, in that final pool. And, you know, although we did not have maybe the greatest success we would like, you know, the social science shows that if you move beyond one, you really have a better chance of hiring a minority candidate by using this process.
You know what? We'll get more into this discussion. Let's bring on Jeremy. And you know what, Jim? Since you're good buddies with him, how about you do the introduction for Jeremy? Let's go for it.
All right, Mark. Now, make sure your union doesn't get mad at me for this. Jeremy DeRue is a friend and partner. He is a professor of law at American University, Washington College of Law. He served for many years as the lead counsel for the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which is the NFL's minority professional service organization, I guess is one of the best ways to say that. And really is the top expert, you know, certainly one of them across the country when it comes to what's happening to race diversity in the sports industry beyond the field, as well as on the field. And he is a husband and father, very important as well.
Jeremy, well, that is one heck of an introduction. Are you ready for that after that one?
I'll tell you what, it pays to have friends like Jim Rooney. Jim, I appreciate that introduction. Very, very kind introduction. It's great to be with you. And Mark, thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, it is nice to meet you. That was one heck of an introduction. Tell us about your book, Advancing the Ball. I want to hear more about this.
Sure. Yeah, so Advancing the Ball basically tells the story of this organization, the Fritz Pollard Alliance that Jim mentioned, and the organization's effort to encourage the league to implement the Rooney Rule, which Jim mentioned and which Jim's book talks about in great deal, and talks about how that rule came to be. It talks about the outside pressure that was put on the league by a couple of lawyers who were really upset back in 2001 after the termination of Tony Dungy as head coach by the Bucks and termination of Dennis Green as head coach by the Vikings, leaving this league, which is 70% African-American players, 32-team league with only one African-American head coach. It talks about the effort made to push the league to increase diversity on the sidelines and how that effort came into connection with Jim's father, Dan, who had been for years from the inside trying to push the NFL to diversify the sidelines, and how that inside effort together with the outside effort resulted in the Rooney Rule and, you know, the modern push for greater diversity in head coaching and ultimately general managing in the league.
Mark, can I add one thing there?
Yeah,
do you mind?
Go for it. Go for it, man.
Okay. Sorry to be taking your show over here, but I think, you know, Jeremy's book is the penultimate book on the subject, and it's why I asked him to be a contributor. And if you read both his and my book, if someone's so inclined together, I think you get as thorough of a point of view from both sort of the inside, my father, Commissioner Tagliabue, as well as the outside, Cyrus Meary, John Wooten, the folks who were pushing from the outside as well as from the inside to really try to make a change. And while all those folks were alive and active in this, you really did see some significant change.
Okay, I will go back to Jeremy, then Jim, you can answer this. We have the Rooney Rule in place. I think it's very important for all of sports. Where should we go from here now? And we have that in place. Where do you want the vision to go with the Rooney Rule? Jeremy, I'll start with you.
Sure. So, yeah, first of all, I agree totally with your premise. I think it's a very important rule. I think some evidence of how important it is that we've seen its traction in industries far and wide, from Silicon Valley to investment banks to big law firms to the federal government with the Democratic caucus in the House and the Senate, to the city of Pittsburgh, to the city of Portland, Oregon. All of these entities have forms of the Rooney Rule. And so I think it's an important idea, which is to open the door of the interview room, to people who otherwise wouldn't have had an opportunity to get in. And I think it's been very effective in the National Football League. When it hasn't been effective, you know, it hasn't been the rule itself. It's been the way that organizations have implemented the rule. That is to say, if an organization has its eye on one individual or one type of individual and isn't interested in casting a broad net, then it makes it difficult for the Rooney Rule to be helpful to that organization. But if indeed an organization is interested in really looking for the best candidate and taking their time to do so, then the Rooney Rule is a critical piece of any interviewing strategy, in my view.
Jim, what about you?
I wish some of the folks that are making these decisions would look at the case studies. I mean, certainly I give the example of the Steelers and the things my father did. You know, the Steelers, hired or drafted more players from the historically black colleges and universities than any other team in the 70s, goes on to win those championships. You look at the Raiders from the same period, the second best team of that time. You know, Al Davis's his commitment was so significant. You look at the 49ers and, you know, 10 years later, Bill Walsh, Eddie DeBartolo. You look at Tampa today. You look at what Bruce Arians has done with his staff. And it's the most diverse staff in the NFL. And these teams are all in the Super Bowl. And these owners claim they want to get there. Well, you know, there's a pretty clear roadmap. I'm not sure why they don't follow it better.
Here's the tough one then, and I appreciate you guys coming on today to talk about this subject with the Rooney Rule. We're here with Jim and Jeremy. You look at the offensive coordinator of Kansas City in this game, Eric Bieniemy, and he's a hot topic on Sports Talk Radio. Why is he not going to be head coach? There's a part of me that feels like being the OC for Kansas City right now might be a better job than a head coach in the NFL. What is your guy's take right now when you look at a guy like Eric?
So, you know, there's probably more job security, I'll say that.
Yeah.
You know, look, that being true and being sort of a fun little quip, it's really bothersome that Eric hasn't gotten that chance. I mean, you know, he has been the understudy for, you know, the top coach in the league for the last several years. And you know, the folks that preceded him who were white got chances, you know, he's not. Why, if you can't get Andy Reid as your coach, and you're looking for a coach, why wouldn't you want someone who's spent so much time studying under him? So it just, you know, on so many levels, it's fundamentally absurd that Eric isn't getting that chance. But I also think we have to get beyond Eric, beyond one person's story, because
yes,
there are so many people who are qualified, and those that could be working their way up the pipeline. And we also have to do work there as well.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think Jim's analysis is right on point. And I also love his thought that we Eric is absolutely deserving a head coaching job. And as Jim points out, there's so many others. If we look at the other teams that's going to be contesting for the Super Bowl on Sunday, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the special teams coordinator of the Super Bowl team, this NFC champion, are all African Americans. You know, if a club is looking for, you know, a young coach, you've got Byron Leftwich, you've got Eric, who's on the younger side. If a team is looking for an older coach, you know, you've got folks like Leslie Frazier, who did a bang-up job with the Bills and has been a head coach. Jim Caldwell, who went to the Super Bowl, been a head coach with two teams. We've got offensive coaches in the pipeline, defensive coaches in the pipeline. The options are there. It's just that clubs aren't seizing upon them, and that's what's somewhat frustrating.
How can we check out your guys' books? Like, can we buy it online in stores? How can we do that? Jeremy, we'll start with you.
Yeah, you can find both of our books wherever books are sold, online, in stores. I know there's not much in-store retail going on in this day and age, but certainly online. And I kind of like Jim's idea earlier. I'd hate to subject someone to reading 500, 600 pages at one time. But if you read my book and Jim's book together in one sitting, then you've got, you know, I don't want to put a feather in either of our caps, but you've got the definitive exploration of the Rooney Rule that's been published in the world. I mean, it's you'll get it all from the two books.
Jeremy, do you have to root for the Pittsburgh Steelers in front of Jim? That's my question.
Well, do we answer this question online together, or am I just in a private conversation with you? No, I got to tell you, I root for the Steelers. Jim didn't get into all of it, but the history that the club has with opening up opportunities for people of color, not just in the front office and coaching is clear with Tomlin, but with players back in the 70s when a lot of clubs weren't taking chances on black players from historically black universities and colleges at the quarterback position with Joe Gilliam. There's just been a history, the Steelers pushing forward in a progressive direction. And I respect that and I honor that. So I always want the Steelers to succeed.
Now, he did do a podcast with the Ravens a couple weeks ago, so we didn't talk for about a week. it was a very important conversation, but I still had to give him a hard time.
Okay, Jim, we'll get to your pick first. Then we'll go to Jeremy. Jim, we got Buccaneers. We got Kansas City. Who do you like to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I got a lot of friends in Tampa with B.A. being at the Steelers for a while and Byron being one of our quarterbacks. So I won't be upset if they win, but I got to go with the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, got to look towards the future here. So Patrick Mahomes, I think is the future of our sport. So I'm going to pick them.
Okay, Jeremy, your pick.
Well, I tell you, Jim and I had a spirited debate as to what would happen to the AFC Championship. And I was pretty confident in my view, and Jim was right. and I was wrong. And so I'm going with Jim on this. I think it'll be the Chiefs carrying it.
I want to end with this then as a bonus. I'm 38. I'll be 39 this year. I think Tom Brady has been part of most of my life, if you think about it, just as a pro athlete. How crazy is it, guys, where you guys love the sport of football to see someone who's 43, and I know Big Ben's getting up, he's around the same age as me, where you see a pro athlete still competing at a high level. It is pretty amazing, right?
I remember the first AFC Championship game that Tom played in at Heinz Field, and my kids, we had a babysitter for my kids. Now they're all out of college, so I think that gives a good example of Tom's career.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think I read that Patrick Mahomes was in kindergarten or first grade when Brady was winning his first Super Bowl or something like that. So, I mean, it's astounding. I'm here in my mid-40s. I've got a pinched neck. I'm sore all the time, and I don't even do anything. So for Tom Brady to do what he's doing is just otherworldly.
Been eating more avocado toast over the years.
I know we've been joking. We've been joking on the air. All right, you can look like you're 35 for the next 30 years, but you can't have sugar, no donuts, no candy. Do you think you two can do it? No. No way.
I don't think it's happening for me.
No.
I'm in with it. I'm in with it. I've been trying. Wait till you guys get to the other side of 50. Those things become much more appealing.
Yeah. Well, Jim and Jeremy, I appreciate coming on today. I'm going to link the link to get your guys' books, which is great. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and stay safe out there with your family. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark, great to talk to you. Thanks for having us on.